We're going to spend a little time now talking about food, about spaghetti carbonara flavored with sea urchin, rigatoni with pork ragu and sage, wood oven roasted meatballs and asparagus. Those are a few of the items on the menu at Copa in the South End, which is co-owned by Chef Jamie Bissonette. Last month, Bissonette won the James Beard Award for Best Chef Northeast. It's a pretty big deal, especially for a former punk rocker, still covered with tattoos, who dropped out of high school, got into fights a lot, and ended up on the wrong side of the law more than once.
I wasn't really great at playing the bass in any bands. I wasn't a really good frontman singing, but I was really good when fights broke out, and I was really good when food was involved. So knowing that cooking and fighting were like the two things I did, probably best I found cooking.
We're glad you found cooking.
Me too.
Jamie Bissonette is a reformed vegan who now embraces whole animal snout-to-tail cooking. Along with Copa, he co-owns Toro, also in the South End. We sat down with him recently at Copa, just before the dinner rush, to talk about his road from tough punk rocker to award-winning chef and about his lifelong passion for Italian food.
Well, for me, I grew up cooking Italian food in my late teens into early 20s, and I just fell in love with some of the simplicity of it and a lot of the ingredients and the passion behind making things with your hands. And like pizza, pasta, you know, breaking down whole animals, that's very like primal to me. It's very hands-on, and it's a really good like stress release, and it's great for creativity.
Here's the thing. When it comes to Italian food and you put your finger on it, simple, I just think, is one of the best words. What do Americans usually miss about Italian food?
There's so many things that Americans miss about Italian food. They feel, you know, they're always looking for more garlic when there really shouldn't be that much garlic. And, you know, the misnomer, oh, there's so much basil in Italian cooking, but when you do finally have been to Italy, there's more mint than anything else. And, you know, I feel like the Italian-American hodgepodge that happened in the 50s to late 70s kind of made Americans think of Italian food a little bit differently than it is. And a lot of that was, you know, Italian immigrants coming to the States and not being able to get beef that made a broth that made, you know, the creaminess that a bolognese would have from bologna. So in the States, they added milk to it, where in bologna you would never add milk. And now that we're more educated, that, you know, people are more traveled and are looking for more authentic stuff, now we're able to go back and say, you know what, actually, this is more what Italian food would be in Italy. And it's a lot less than the primavera and the eggplant parmesan that people want.
So what's the pasta dish here that with which you connect with the most fervently?
For me, it's the carbonara. When I learned how to make carbonara the first time, I was at Billy Grant's restaurant, Brico, in West Hartford, Connecticut, in Billy's grandmother's recipe. It was, you know, obviously no cream. It's egg, pasta water, you know, onions, lots of black pepper, pancetta, you know, fresh pasta, parmesan, and a little bit of butter. And having that, I was just like, this is so great.
Great dish. You're making me very hungry. Yeah, go ahead. You were saying?
Well, we started making it, and I was playing around with it. And one thing that I noticed is that if I ate it every day, I would get bored with it. But I always wanted something a little bit different in it. And then I started adding sea urchin to it to give it like a little funky, a little sour, a little salt. You know, I'm sitting here now looking around and I can see three tables eating it. So, and it's one of our most popular.
So, Jamie, I want to ask you about the James Beard Award that you won. Second time you were nominated. Has anything changed since you won this prestigious award?
After it was announced, I walked up on stage. Barbara Lynch, you know, announced my name. Daniel Ballard put the medal around my neck. We went backstage. Barbara started crying. I started jumping up and down. And then, you know, all she kept saying is, this is so good for us and this is so good for Boston.
Barbara Lynch, of course, won Best Restaurateur. You won Best Chef Northeast. What does that say about what's going on in Boston in the restaurant scene?
You know, it gives us more culinary credibility, which I think we already have, but sometimes at the outside looking in, you know, the city hasn't changed. It's just the perception looking in. And I think that that's what this award can do for the city.
You've worked in different places, Paris, San Francisco. I know you're also working in New York now with Toro, New York. Why did you decide to settle in Boston? What is it about Boston?
Well, I grew up in Hartford, Connecticut, and I was coming up to Boston a lot for like punk rock and hardcore shows, going to the Rat, going to the Channel. And I fell in love with it up here. I met a lot of people that became friends. I left school a little bit early, not on my own volition, but, you know, sometimes you have to leave. And
so you took one of those creative paths.
Yeah, I took the creative path. And got my GED and found a culinary school and said, you know what? I was 17 years old. I started my first day of culinary school in the middle of July. I've always felt that Boston was my home.
When did it become clear that what you really wanted to do was be a chef?
So when we were in punk bands in high school, we would have, you know, practices after school. I think it was like every Wednesday we had practice. Actually, I know it was every Wednesday because every Wednesday was also the food section. So I would get to practice reading the food section. We would play a couple songs. We would take a break. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go cook us lunch. I'd go up and cook us lunch. They'd start playing again. I'd finish lunch. I'd go down. We'd eat, and we'd play again, and I'd start cooking. And then, you know, as I realized that I wasn't really learning the new songs. I wasn't bringing anything to the table musically. Yeah. But I was coming going, hey, guys, I want to make this. I want to eat that. And they were like, dude, you know, one band was like, you're out, kicked out. One band, I was like, I think I better quit. I was like, I think culinary school might be where I want to go next. And that was my real passion. One of my closest friends growing up, Chris Marishuk, he's a pastor now. And when he leads ceremonies on Sundays, one of the things that he always talks about is direction and people. And he uses me as an example. A lot of someone that in the town I grew up in, everybody thought I would be in jail by now or dead. And if I hadn't discovered cooking, probably would have been true.
And growing up in Hartford, did you grow up in a very sort of kitchen-savvy household, or how did that work?
No, not at all. Tuesday was a dish that my uncle and my father called Gross Me Out. It was some sort of like American chop suey, Mueller's egg noodle, three different kind of canned soup, cheese-smothered, baked, almost Kugel porridge kind of garbage. And one of the worst meatloafs. I didn't know that meatloaf could be delicious for years.
Let me just ask you a little bit about your philosophy of cooking. When you're creating a new dish, how do you start? Where does the idea come from?
I like to say I like sit down and I write out a bunch of ideas, which I do, and then I bring them to, you know, to my sous chefs and chefs. They order in all the ingredients, and then they go, okay, you wanted to do the quail with the fava beans and the blood sausage and the peas, and then I start cooking one dish. And then I just start grabbing things and throwing it together and, like, making sauces. And usually it's, like, really on the fly kind of, this is what I want to eat. And we come up with a dish that has nothing to do with the original idea.
Hmm. So it evolves.
It evolves, yeah. But I think I do the best work kind of in the moment, you know. You know, just, I think flavor is key. You know, tradition is there for a reason, but rules are made to be broken at the same time.
Well, Jamie, it's so much fun talking to you about food. You're only 36. You've won this big award. You've got involved with three restaurants now. What's next? What's the next sort of frontier for Jamie Bissonnette?
Oh, I don't know. I wish I could say I've got that planned out. Yeah. You know, with the new restaurant in New York, it's been really interesting and very time-consuming. But now that I'm coming back to Boston more and more often, I think next will be a haircut, a shave, and a massage.
Sounds like a good idea. Well, Jamie Bissonnette, thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Bissonnette is chef and co-owner of Copa and Toro in the South End and winner of the James Beard Award for Best Chef Northeast. In a quest for the test, it's a villain team, and everybody's always only to see himself.